WHIV.
You're listening to 89.1, The HIV, WHIV, the throbbing vein of Kensington.
WHIV.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. We broadcast to Alpha Centauri, to 32 Earth radio stations, and soon to 45 radios owned by homeless people in Philly. Please put on your 3D glasses now.
Yeah.
Right on.
Wow. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working? Jim Babb and Michael,
yes.
And Jeremy.
Yes.
So many,
yes.
Fiends.
Yes, MK Lords. You got abducted by aliens and you're back. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a full squirm. We have a full squirm of worms. We have four. Yeah. So that constitutes a full squirm.
A full squirm.
We're four.
Yeah. Welcome back, MK.
Together. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was that?
I don't know.
It sounded like a drum roll. Is someone doing sound effects?
No.
Did someone
get drums? No, but
the drums are gone.
Is James still here?
It was just a little incoming projectile. I don't know.
Was the aliens coming back?
Exactly what it sounded like.
Just let me. I'll be right back. I have to go return fire. Hold on.
Or someone kicking over a metal wastebasket, I think. All right, well, I'm going to come up a bit, because the voice of God just whispered in my ear and told me to come up a bit. Wah-ha-ha.
Mystery fiend.
Yep, I'm good. It's, you know, it's having a board op is really cool. It's kind of like...
Mission control.
It is. It's like, you know, I was reading about the Red Hot Chili Peppers when they were making the Blood Sugar Sex Magic record, or whatever record was like. One of the records was produced by George Clinton, not Bill Clinton, not George Bush, George Clinton of Parliament Funkadelic. And they said that, like, you know, during the recording, he was like during guitar solos, he'd go on the mic in the control room and be like, yeah, man. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it. A little more. Yeah. And they said that, like, anybody else, they would have fired for that, but him, they were like, yeah, like our childhood funk heroes, like Ed Unison. And it's kind of like that when our George, who's doing the board op tonight, he's actually like a master engineer. It's kind of like having Bill Gates fix your computer, having George be your board op.
I would not let him touch my computer. Are you kidding?
No, it's like having Derek Slopey fix your computer then. So, you know, it's like having a computer genius, like, who should be off doing something much more complicated and who's like filling in for someone whose car is out of service. So that's kind of like having George whispering in our ears going, yeah, Michael, come up. I'm like, yes, sir. You got it. Yep.
Nice.
So how's California treating you there, MK Lords?
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it out here.
Wait, it's not a secret.
I feel like, no, it's not a secret anymore. No, it was a secret for a while, but it's not a secret anymore. I'm loving it. I feel like I'm supposed to be out here. I know. It's like a
San Diego
paradise.
You said, are we allowed to give the general location?
Yeah.
San Diego-ish.
Roughly San Diego-ish.
Possibly Tijuana. We're not sure.
Very close, actually, to Tijuana.
You should move to Tijuana and just drive over and commute every day. It'd be cheaper, although you'd spend about 4 hours.
Could you chuck one of those portable radios over the fence? Like,
with those throwies?
Yeah. I see a whole new market for our, you know, variation on Fiend the Homeless, only this will be, you know, just like trying to, I don't know, get the Freedom Fiends into Tijuana via slingshot.
Yeah.
Is this Fiend the Homeless? I need to know more
about
it.
Okay, we're going
to
talk about that. First, I want to talk about this. There's this parody account called Cantwell Goo, Cantwell Googling on Twitter. And his picture right now, he pretends to be Cantwell and then, like, posts as a furry.
How do you know it's not really Cantwell pretending to be Cantwell?
Because he's nice to me and he never threatens to kill me.
Yeah, but that's part of the act, see? That's
tough, man. I don't know.
You know, in a world of troll within a troll within a troll, it's like the Inception troll. Like you never know what level you're at.
Having spent time with Cantwell, I don't think he's capable of pulling all that off.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Which is, you know, I mean,
not that sophisticated.
For everything we could say negative about the guy, I guess he's kind of honest, unless he's really a cop, which is a theory. But, you know, I don't think he's capable of, like, deluding anyone that he's not deluding himself. He's definitely a cop. So, but he has this picture. Why don't you describe it, James?
Well, it's close to meme rape, in my opinion, because it has someone has creatively photoshopped images of someone, you know, of MK with Chris Cantwell,
and
it's putting him in a proximity and position to one another that I don't think would really consent to.
Okay, you're making it sound worse than it is.
It's her licking Cantwell's head.
Yes.
How weirder can it be? I mean, seriously, that's.
I'm the weird one now. But yeah, like someone.
No, I think it's a microaggression against Chris Cantwell because he didn't consent to being like photographed with you licking his bald head.
He's probably bothered by that more than MK. She's pretty good humored, and I think she's licking a good humor ice cream in the original picture. But
I'm eating rabbit in the original picture.
Rabbit, yes, tastes like alligator.
It's very good. It's like deep fried and spicy, and so it's someone I think I'm friends with on Facebook. I'm trying to narrow down who these Googling accounts are, because that was taken from Facebook, and I was like, fair, I knew like putting a picture of myself putting something into my mouth, like, and putting that on the internet could result in who knows what.
Rape.
And that's what happened.
Well, you know what? This opens up a whole new possibility for a career as far as forensic meme evaluation, right? Like forensic meme consulting, where you can like try to trace back the meme, find out who's responsible for it, right? Like look for the clues. Yeah.
Yeah. This could be a thing. I think it is a thing. Probably.
It probably
for some
is
people.
For, you know,
but for forensic meme making, like I think that could be, you know, I don't know.
Oh, it's
changing,
exciting
world we live in.
Jeremy, I was going to say it's definitely a thing because I know quite a few people who are amateur PIs and spend half their day just tracking down information about other people on Facebook because they have nothing better to do with their lives. So I'm sure it's a thing.
It's kind of creepy.
People need to come work.
Yes, it's
teams.
Very creepy.
Tell them they do. All right, Fiend the Homeless. Fiend the Homeless. He's inspired by Hoodie the Homeless. The name is inspired by Hoodie the Homeless. What?
So it has nothing to do with Feed the Homeless. It's
actually thought of this before Hoodie the Homeless existed, and I'm not taking anything away from them. They're a great organization. You should give them all your Bitcoin. Well, give us a little of your Bitcoin for Feed the Homeless, and then give the rest to Hoodie the Homeless. Hoodie the Homeless takes care of keeping the homeless warm by giving them hoodies. Bright orange hoodies, which, you know, make them harder to run over by cars by accident or easier intentionally, depending on what people are doing out there in Frisco. But once they're warm and Davi's giving them a sandwich, then they need something to do. So we're going to give them radio receivers with epoxied to a station that plays the Fiends at least 12 hours a day. In Philly.
You cannot epoxy a radio to a homeless person. I really don't think that is...
You're misunderstanding,
that's
sir.
Non-consensual.
I don't think that was the plan, James.
No, I'm not. No, I know. We're not epoxying.
I thought we're going
to
epoxy it onto the Fiends.
No, but the Fiends' new motto is epoxying shut the corpse of talk radio since 2011.
You mean the coffin?
The coffin. The corpse? Dude, that's... Yeah, I meant the coffin.
That's pretty metal.
Oh, what were you doing in there to begin with? Yeah.
I think we should pay homeless people to let us surgically embed radio receivers into their arms.
Or like
teeth.
A Teletubbies style sort of like implant.
Well, as long as it's voluntary, I guess it wouldn't be too big of a problem, right?
It doesn't violate the nap.
Me,
if they agree to it.
Excuse me, sir. Would you mind if we cut you open and just shove this little receiver inside you? Don't worry, it won't be a problem
$5
at all.
Step into the back of this van. It's five.
You know,
it's $5, a sandwich and a beer, man.
If they're holding a sign that says, you know, Help Will me. In bed for Bitcoin, then, I mean, I think it's okay.
Will in bed. Will go in bed.
Yeah.
No, no, in I, bed. Like, allow themselves to be in bed. Okay.
Well,
so we actually, you actually like have, like, help. How many of these radios do we do you have now?
45.
You
got, like, a big, on order.
45 so, of these yeah. AM, it's like a FM transmit, or a receiver.
Army. FM receiver. Yeah.
It's, FM receiver.
I ordered them from Hong Kong. I got... You know, I'm always looking for donations for me because I can't really work now other than doing the Fiends because of health issues. So, you know, I'm getting donations for medical expenses, basically. But then on the side of that, I'm also doing – I have a separate Bitcoin address and a PayPal where you have to put a note to me to donate to the Fiend the Homeless campaign. It's part of our – Squirm program, which is what our AMP program is called. You know, Free Talk Live has the AMP program where you send them money and none of it goes in their pocket. It all goes to promoting the show. They spend it on buying ads on Google. We don't do that. We spend it on giving epoxied one channel North Korean style radio receivers to somebody said that. Somebody said that's very Kim Jong Il of you, Michael Dean. Or yeah. Kim Il Sung, yeah, like
well, Kim I mean, Il Sung, yeah,
yeah, the old, the dead one, Grandpa, because in North Korea you can you can only own radios that only get like two frequencies and they're government frequencies, and literally they've taped something inside in place, and if you open up the radio and remove that tape, so you can get you know stations from freer places like China and South Korea. They will throw you in a prison and like kill your whole family. And they have people that go into people's homes and check that. But this is voluntary. But there's a couple reasons. One is we're going to epoxy them to one frequency because, you know, we're not bothering to raise money to get people to be able to listen to, you know, some soul station or Rush Limbaugh in Philly. We want them to hear the Fiends. And there's a station at Temple right. University that's playing the Fiends 12 or more hours a day. You can get it all over Kensington. Directional antenna. It's called WHIV. And if you're listening to this on the MP3 later,
that's well, a real station.
Yeah, let me.
Yeah, you had to mention that. Yeah, I thought it was a joke.
Here, I
and
have
it only
the,
plays here, the Fiends.
Listen to this.
You're listening to 89.1 The Hiv. WHIV, the throbbing vein of Kensington.
No.
Oh, yeah. That is one. I love it.
It's the HIV. Locals call it the HIV. And there's also a Spanish language one that only plays Hugo's Spanish language podcast, and it's called WHPV. We'll talk more about this when we get back. We'll talk about more about feeding the homeless when we get back on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
So these are the Freedom Fiends. That's MK Lords. She's been caught. She's been stuck in the DMV for 3 months.
Oh my gosh! I'm in like DMV purgatory. So that's my god.
She finally got out.
No, I haven't.
There,
no, I'm not.
I'm so happy about that.
You got to leave today. Yeah, so we put you back.
I get to go back on Tuesday.
Nice.
And then I get to go back again, you know. And then if I'm lucky, one more time.
Yeah, the weather's horrible in the weather's horrible in Wyoming, and you can't smoke legal weed here. But the DMVs are a lot more pleasant than in Southern California. Southern California, like, you know, if you make an appointment, it takes 4 hours, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. If you don't make an appointment, it takes 6 hours. There's wall-to-wall people who want to stab each other, screaming at each other. It's horrible. The people at the front, you know, you wait in the wrong line. You wait in the line, you get up there like you're in the wrong line. They don't know what's going on. They don't know how to tell you what to do.
They don't tell you what to do at all.
In Wyoming, in Casper, we switched over our driver's licenses and our license plates from California to Wyoming in 10 minutes with no appointment. And the line was chairs. Like, people sat in chairs to get up to the front and played musical chairs. It was great. So
anything like that in Pennsylvania, it's going to be like 350 people waiting in chairs, like, all day.
I think Wyoming is the only... Casper might be the only place it's good. But I have a recommendation when people have a problem like that in big cities is go two towns over to a smaller town. It'll be better.
Well, guess what I found? I actually found when I had to get my driver's license renewed, I found on the main line, which is where, you know, people are pretty wealthy,
yeah,
that they have a private office. And for an extra fee to the AAA
office,
I get to go through like a non-humiliating experience, or let's just say much less humiliating experience.
Version. It's like it is to like DMV what private jets are to air travel.
It actually is. I'm like, wow. Like, there wasn't, you know, there was like maybe like one or two people, like, sort of just kind of, you know, moving through the system at the same time. I really didn't have to wait. I still had to wait in line about five times, but each line was much shorter.
Yeah. So
this is like the speed pass at Disney World?
Yes. Except no one's on speed. Like, they're in Southern California.
Oh, my goodness.
And get this. And the woman was brighter than normal, too, because she noticed my eye patch was on the other eye this time. I switched eyes from the last time. And she noticed it. I was like, I knew. I didn't think they were going to notice it. I'm like, there's no way they're going to notice that.
Sharp.
She did.
Yeah, it was weird. Everything was covered with this weird film. I had to like retake the driving class or the driving test to get my license, and the screen was just filthy, and there wasn't like any sinks or little
like wet
wipes
nap.
Or like I just needed one wet nap or like a squirt of like
they have those
like a squeegee.
They had the hand sanitizers in Casper. I just
would have been perfect, but it was just everything.
This is a mellower tax farm here. Yeah, it's not going to stay that way though, because the reason Wyoming's a mellow tax farm is because they tax the oil industry, and it's so lucrative for the state. But oil is like a quarter of what it was a year ago, and it's going to drop more with Iranian oil coming in now. So they're like, they actually went in Wyoming overnight from having like, you know, a $50 million surplus to like a $50 million deficit. And all of a sudden they're talking about raising property taxes and stuff overnight.
Wow.
So,
thanks.
Yeah. They got to get their cut.
Isn't that what happened in North Dakota, where everybody flocked there because of the oil, and now things are going south, so now all those poor people are out of work again.
Yeah, Wyoming and North Dakota have a lot of natural resources. They're rich in order, coal, oil, natural gas, uranium, and low-functioning white people.
Yeah, they're also like two states I don't ever think about, really. Like, I forget. It's like, oh, yeah, like
here.
North Dakota. That exists.
Because you guys... No one, you know what? No, like when I lived in California, like every 3 months, someone would be like, "Hey, I'm coming through town. Can I crash on your couch?" Hasn't happened once in 6 years in Wyoming.
Oh, everyone's coming to see me now.
Yeah, that's why we move here.
It's great. Right, so. Like back home, I would be like, "Oh yeah, anyone can come by and crash. It's totally cool." And people are like, "Okay, yeah, cool." But now that I'm out here, everyone comes out. Like every couple weeks, like someone's in town. Like, yeah, come on by.
I want to go to San Diego just for the breweries. There's so many breweries I want to check out.
Oh, there's some cool breweries.
If I get my way, I'm coming out this summer with the family.
Sweet. We'll see. Hit me up.
You know, actually, Wyoming might be on your way if you went diagonally across the country, James.
We're going to be like, crisscrossing all over the place.
I mean,
so.
I'm inviting you and your family for a night. We have a comfy... Well, I don't want to say how comfy my... I don't want to say it on the radio. No, it's horrible here. There's rice on the floor, and I make you kneel. It hurts.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's still a long way away, but I'm going to get there.
When we get back from this trip to the market, we'll talk about Furry the Homeless or Fiend the Homeless or Cantwell
Fiend the homeless.
Yeah.
Epoxy the homeless. No.
Epoxy the homeless.
Epoxy the Cantwell.
No. Oh, man. To your tongue.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends. on the radio, Worms.
This is a test. I'm turning it down. It should still be going through. That was the headphones. All right, now this is the output main mix. I'm turning it down. I'm turning it down. All right. That's for me for later. Yeah, go on syndicated radio on 32 channels and do your sound checks. Well, there's no way to do them except doing them during a show. So this is a teaching hospital. It is a teaching hospice. I'm Michael Dean. I'm talking to MK Lords, James Babb, and Jeremy Heisenberger. How you doing, me. Jeremy?
We have a full squirm. Right,
I've renamed it. We have full squirm. So
squirms.
So we decided we are squirm worms, and we decided that for now our AMP program is going to be called the squirm program. So AMP, and we're looking for what that might stand for. So if you want to help us with a backronym, email us and or go to the website freedomfiends.com and tell us what squirm could stand for. Davi Barker's really good at this stuff, but he's indisposed, and I think he's on a new show on that. Played its second show tonight. Isn't he on Will Coley's show regularly?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
I think him and Will are starting the show.
Yeah, but there's no archive of that show yet. I can't find an MP3 of it anywhere, but hopefully they will. I helped Will pick out some equipment and get up to snuff, so hopefully they're doing good. And it's a new show. What's it called? Voluntary Islam? Something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
that I'm not sure about.
It's on LRN on Sunday nights before the Fiends.
Nice.
So we're talking about the furry, the homeless. I mean, the Fiend, the homeless program. So basically, now, here's how I came up with this idea before I ever heard of furry, the homeless. I actually wanted to, my wife and I used to do a show that was largely us making sweet, sweet love and then talking about shoes afterwards and cats. So it was audio only. This was in 2006. It was called, Submission and Coffee. And it was a show like no other. It was extremely popular until it got kicked off of iTunes, and it was even still popular. So what I wanted to do was put that on players of some kind, and even like maybe solar-powered players, and airdrop them to uncontacted tribes. Do you guys know what uncontacted tribes are?
I can imagine, sure.
Yeah, still people on this earth who've never had direct contact with, you know, any industrial.
There are some society. Isolated pockets in West Virginia where that. It's true.
West Philly.
It's true.
West Philly.
I'm not making this up. They found a holler. This was like
in the 30s.
They were like isolated for like generations and generations, and like they came across these people and like the children were chewing tobacco and stuff. And
there's
and,
a show just, coming out about them. Do you know about this? There's a show that looks really good that's like, you know, those people versus the government. And I don't know that they're still uncontacted at this point, but they're still like up on a mountain in Appalachia not wanting to have any contact with the townspeople down below. And the, you know, the state decides to sell the mountain to the coal company. And then, it looks
great.
It could
be very interesting.
It looks like you'll take my land, freedom, but you'll never take my land kind of stuff to me. Like, you know, fighting the federal government tooth and nail.
Well, they're probably going to make the people fighting, you know, for their mountain look like, yeah. Stupid hillbillies or something.
Yeah, but they do, but they look like sexy, cool hillbillies. There's actually a scene in it
where they're
on one of those ATV machines driving through a Walmart, like just looting it. Looks kind of fun.
What?
Yeehaw.
Yeah. Yeah, they come down off the mountain and steal some ATVs and go through a Walmart and loot it and fill up the ATVs and drive back up the mountain.
That's awesome.
Interesting. Oh wow. This is not exactly what I imagined. So
God, yeah. What is it called? I'll find it for you. But so
I'm for looting if it's interesting.
I'm not. I'm in shows, in TV shows. TV God, what's it called? TV show mountains.
But there's some pretty isolated tribes in South America still.
Yeah.
And you know, I always take it with a grain of salt when they say they've never been contacted. You know, like, you know, people get around no matter what. So just because they still look very primitive doesn't mean that they've never been any contact or anything like that.
Check this out, okay? There's a Wikipedia page called Uncontacted Peoples that actually talks about this. And if you Google image uncontacted peoples, there's actually the great pictures that come up are these pictures taken from an airplane in the rainforest in South America of people, and these are real. These are the people of like 10 people painted head to toe red, filmed from an airplane from like 100 feet up, and these people are shooting arrows at the airplanes.
At the airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check it out. And like,
I just saw like, that.
Yeah. Like, this is, they still have a few tribes of these in South America. There's a couple islands that have some. Borneo, I think, has some. Maybe, nah, that's too compact. But Australia may have some.
Well, there's that. How about that community? There's an island, I think, in the Indian Ocean where every time somebody tries to land and make contact, they kill them.
Yeah, that's like, one of them.
Oh, I saw something on that a couple of months ago. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's not your ideal vacation spot. Like if you check their reviews on TripAdvisor, it's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like actually like they're, you know, a lot of governments and non-governmental organizations working through governments are trying to like leave these people alone. And for one thing, like they don't have any immunities to the common cold. You know, like they die if they shake hands with a European, basically. So they have them. There's some in Vietnam, too. There's some in Mexico. There's some in Bolivia, Brazil, Ecuador, Venezuela. So I wanted in 2006, before Hoodie the Homeless, I wanted to take my kink podcast, put it on some kind of solar-powered player, and like airdrop, like sterilize it in an autoclave so it wouldn't make them sick, and then like airdrop it to uncontacted tribes with like pictographic instructions on how to play it.
No, that is that you're That's violating the idea. Prime directive there. You're not supposed to interfere with their natural development.
Now, what about, you know, homeless crackheads and drug addicts and alcoholics in North Philly? Is that what we're talking about, or West Philly?
Yeah, it's North Philly.
Okay, so we're gonna do outreach there. You and Steve Miller and this other fiend fan that lives in the neighborhood are gonna go.
We'll make a video too,
right?
We're gonna make a video. We're gonna go out and we're gonna do this. We're gonna take these transmitters.
I want Steve naked.
Listen, that's between you and him, okay? But we've got serious work to do. So right.
That might dilute it.
And it's cold, okay?
Yeah,
so
that's true. Yeah,
there would be shrinkage.
Yeah. So I've ordered 45 of these. Well, that might make him more approachable. You know, like the homeless
less
guy
intimidating.
Might laugh at him and then listen to what he has to say if there's shrinkage.
What? How loud are these? How loud are these transmitters? I mean, I keep saying transmitters, receivers.
I don't know yet.
Okay, we don't know how loud they are.
There's two sets of them. I got 25 of one kind and 20 of another kind. The 25 I got look like iPod micros. You know those little tiny, what are the chip ones called? They're $90 or something.
It's like a Nano or something.
Nano, yeah. They're clones of iPod Nanos, but they're radio receivers. Now, someone has said that on some of these, the radio receiver isn't very good, and they also come with crappy little earbuds.
Can you only listen by earbuds? Or
on those only by earbuds. Now, here's the thing: if the radios don't really work on them, they also have a slot for a micro SD card. So, you know, we could find the cheapest micro SD cards we can and fill them up. But these are USB only, so they have to be charged by USB, even the radios. So
I want something that has like a speaker built into it, or maybe connected to a portable speaker.
The 25 other ones that I got have speakers.
Yeah.
So what I'd eventually like to get, though, but the cheapest I can find is $10. These are like $4 each with shipping. The cheapest I can find is $10 for crank radios. Like, you know, the homeless would crank them
so
up.
So they actually run on crank? I mean, we get some crank in Kensington, but it's mostly heroin.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you crank these like they're like survival radios. And, you know, I mean, what is being homeless except a constant state of emergency and survival? Like I used to help this priest in San Francisco hand out blankets to the poor. And he was pretty controversial because he was he would hand out Bibles, blankets, and like clean syringes. And hey, like this guy, like they would listen to what he had to say, whereas the guy and soup. Whereas the guys just handed out Bibles, no one wanted to hear it. So, you know, you hand out bleach and clean needles and they'll listen to you. So, and the blankets,
incentives.
The blankets.
Wait, so is this the model for Fiend the Homeless? It's like, look, they're not going to take our Bible unless we give them some clean needles to go with it.
A bottle of nitrate. Well, okay. You guys are going to have to experiment, and I'm going to
raise we'll find out what it takes.
But batteries.
What do you think about taking the ones with speakers and like sort of rigging them up under like a
epoxying them
like
under a
like a train shelter or something where it might resonate a little bit if we could find the right acoustical environment?
I think you should try all kinds of things with them and then like do a survey and find out what's getting used so we can see where to allocate later donations. So
yeah,
we're going to, you know, actually one of Cantwell Goo's, I tweeted the other day, I just ordered 25 of these radios and put a picture, you know, for the Feed the Homeless campaign in Philadelphia. And he immediately tweeted back 25 radios that will immediately be pawned by homeless people. Now, here's
the
thing.
Part of the process, right? That's what we're looking
creating
forward to.
Economy.
It's a whole. Right, because somebody's going to listen to Fiends. They're going to, you know, once they listen to it, it probably within a couple shows, they're going to get their lives turned around.
Yeah.
And then pass it on to the next person.
It's going
to
become more decentralized over time.
Yeah, it's trickle-up economics. Within a week of listening to the Fiends, you know, they're going to be working. They'll have a Mercedes-Benz that has a built-in iPod player.
So there's another strategy, too.
They'll be living in that.
Is there a way that we could get maybe LRN or Free Talk Live at least on this as well?
I've tried that, but this station won't do it. I've also tried to get Ian Freeman to help chip in on this and bribe, you know, the whole system. Hey, we'll get not pay to play, but like, hey, you know, if I tell the people running the station over at Temple, but they don't want to play LRN.
Okay, well, you know, we'll just because what I was thinking is, you know, as we discussed this briefly on Facebook, this could be what puts the Free State Project over the top. 20,000 pledgers.
Really. Like right, someone said on Facebook, someone saw this and they were like, oh, well, just what the Liberty Movement needs, more homeless people. But no, they won't be homeless after listening to the Fiends for a few weeks.
Right. So, and I think they're within like the home stretch of getting these 20,000 signers. So, I mean, I figure Kensington alone has got at least 100 people that would be like, yeah, whatever, I'll sign. And, they're on a bus to Manchester or Keene or Lancaster or.
I think we should actually raise money to bus homeless drug addicts and crackheads from Kensington to Keene.
How about Lancaster, right to Rogers Campground? Yeah.
Wait, where's Cantwell live? How about to Cantwell's porch? Nah, he'd shoot him.
No, he'd probably miss.
He'd probably miss. Oh, man. You have some stored up there. It's been a while, MK.
Oh, no.
It's been months. All right, so if you want to donate to Feed the Homeless... send us money. Go to the Freedom Fiends blog. It has the info.
You get a picture of your own homeless person.
Yes, we're only
enjoying the Fiends.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends. Only $40 at PayPal.
And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
All right.
Back to the Freedom Fiends.
That's right. All right. Yes.
What is that?
A little tribute action?
Yeah.
Getting our Bowie on.
Just the Freedom Fiends tribute to David Bowie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Put on your red shoes and dance. Yeah, I want to talk about David Bowie. So I'm playing some of his soul music, which is... actually inspired by Philly soul. We're friends of Philly here. We're trying to help the homeless of Philly get more soulful. So here's a little bit of Philly soul so you can hear the connection.
It's like night and day. David Bowie was so white. Come on.
I know.
He cannot blame that. That Philly soul is not responsible for that. No.
David Bowie described himself as plastic soul, which he said was white, blue-eyed Europeans co-opting. Like, he admitted it, you know?
Well, he might have tried to do that. It doesn't mean he did it very well. I mean, there's plenty of white people that can do great soul music. I just don't think that Let's Dance is one
really?
Of those
I
songs.
Think it is. I'd rather listen to Let's Dance than the Tramps' Disco Party, which is what we're just listening to from Philly.
Wow.
I don't know.
All right. MK wants to eulogize. Sing it, sister. Sing
it. Oh, man. Like, that was the crappiest start to a week ever.
I know.
Just about, it was a really bad week in general. Like, it starts well, with, Lemmy like, died. David Bowie dying. Well, Lemmy died
no, it
before that.
With Lemmy died a couple weeks
before
ago.
Before that, yeah.
Died.
And then Bowie died.
And then
died.
Alan Rickman.
And then Alan Rickman
died of cancer all in the same week.
And then, like, I know a lot of, like, my friends who have had, like, three different friends of mine on Facebook, like, lose people close to them all in that same week. Like, it's just been a bad week.
Yeah.
I'm really sad.
Well, you know
but I love
when
Bowie.
When your heroes start dying or cancer instead of drug overdoses and car crashes.
It was so crazy because the Friday before that, it was David Bowie's birthday, and I shared a bunch of stuff about it. I was like, oh, and I had heard that he might be making an album with the Gorillaz or something. I was really excited. I was like, oh man, like David Bowie's so great. And then like on Monday, like I find out he passed away. I was like, wow, it just happened so quick. And he was just suffering privately. Did you guys see his last videos? Did you get to see Lazarus and Black Star?
I've seen Black Star. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, I saw Black Star when it first came out, but they didn't tell me this was like going to be this like the funeral dirge or you know.
Yeah,
but
well,
it kind of feels like it.
Lazarus is even sadder. I mean, like I had to wait until I got home from work to watch it. I was like, I know I'm going to be crying, and it was really, really sad. Like,
did
he
really
know,
like take his death and make it some part of the performance art? I mean, basically,
yeah, that's exactly what he did.
Although he didn't know he was dying as quick as he did, because one of his close friends said that he, like a producer, had said he contacted him like a week before that about like booking studio time to do something that was going to take like a month. So, but cancer can be like that too. And you know, Lou Reed and David Bowie both died of liver cancer. And you know, the prevailing theory is like it's from years of drug and alcohol abuse. And like he was smoking Freebase up to like the late 80s. Like he had a heart attack on stage at some point. You know, he didn't get sober 30 years ago, like Lou Reed and, you know, Iggy Pop and some people predominantly sober. But, you know, I mean, he's David Bowie. How can you be David Bowie and not want to, you know, put on Let's Dance really loud in front of the mirror in your hermit like apartment and live and smoke some Freebase? You know, I would.
I mean, he was just swimming in mountains of cocaine. I mean, this is going to happen. Like,
yeah. You know, it makes me glad that I was not any more successful with music. I was signed to a major label, but then got dumped after one record. And like, if I'd been, you know, even like, you know, Sonic Youth popular, I would have kept doing drugs to the point where I would have killed my liver, and I'd have, you know, liver cancer now instead of just bad asthma and GERD.
What are you going to do when the Fiends become super successful?
Spend the extra money on radio receivers for homeless people instead of
all the wild parties.
Crack. Yeah. I'm still going to be a hermit. People. I like not leaving the house. I may get in a hamster bubble and go to Pork Fest at some time, though.
There you go.
Oh, God, that would be spectacular.
MK, you going to come back in the second hour, or are you going to go rest your voice?
I think I'm going to have to rest my voice, but it's been a pleasure being back on. And
yay,
I'll be back
for
on
MK.
Thanks,
for
guys.
MK. Woo!
Yep. Woo!
Thank you.
Oh, yes, thanks.
Worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right.
Worms.
I'm Jim Babb. I'm here with Jeremy. We may have Michael Dean out there somewhere. He may be popping in.
I think he's still busy with his Bowie tribute over there.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. It was a tough week. Lost a lot of great entertainers. Some good.
Yeah, well,
good folks.
I mean, what's that old saying? It always seems to happen in threes, and I don't know if it's actually true or people like kind of force that to happen almost, because every time somebody dies, then everybody says, "Oh, look, you know what? For the next," and then it seems to follow. But I don't know.
Life
if people
is short.
Are creating that.
Yeah. You never know when. You know, we lost our friend John Connell in New Hampshire too, who died in that tragic fire. I'm so sad about that. So yep. Been a hard one, man. They've taken some great folks from us.
And one with extra cheese. Sorry, I was making a sandwich. You guys were talking serious stuff.
Yeah.
You ever seen that? You know, all comedy is dealing with the fact that we'll all die someday. Have you ever heard that?
That makes sense.
I have heard that.
One of my favorite lines, and I think about this whenever I'm making a sandwich with cheese, is on The Simpsons, the episode where... It's a takeoff on Terminator 2. It's got the scene where the nuclear bomb wipes out the world, and it shows what various people around town are doing when it happens. And it has big fat comic book guy walking down the street talking on a cell phone, and it comes in like, you know, into the middle of his sentence. You don't hear the whole conversation, but you hear him go, and one with extra cheese, please. And he looks up and sees the bomb and says, "Oh, I've wasted my life." And one with extra cheese. So we're out of like sandwich cheese, so I had to take those little, you know, those little weird like flat cheese balls that come wrapped in wax, individually packed sized ones. Like,
oh,
I had to take those.
What are
and,
those cow things or something?
Yeah, I had to cut those like lengthwise and then fold them over. They looked like sliced eggs in the sandwich. So I'm gonna eat my sandwich now and listen to you guys talk. So have fun.
All right, thanks. Great.
Yes.
So, Jeremy, you were following the story about this Ohio sheriff posing as DEA rep to pick up drugs from local police departments.
Yeah, I was giving it a look over during the break, and I had said that this, you know, I'm sure this happens more often than we're aware of, but it's interesting that the guy finally got caught. So the basic story is that. There's a group of police chiefs in Ohio that are claiming that one local sheriff has been running to all their departments, claiming that he works in conjunction with the DEA to pick up their drug busts, and everybody assumes that he's bringing them back to the DEA. But it turns out he has no connection with the DEA whatsoever, and... It doesn't actually say in the story, but I'm assuming he is using these for either personal use or to try to sell them himself. Which is very entrepreneurial, in my opinion.
Extremely industrious for someone in his profession. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, a lot of times we say a lot of, like, negative things about cops on the Freedom Fiends. There's no secret there that we're not really big fans of police in general. And people say, oh, you're cop haters, whatever. You never, you know, how come you never say the good stuff that they do? You know, well, you know, or say, you know, this guy is genius. This guy has a brilliant scam going on. And like, you're stealing from a thief. Who cares? The people that he stole it from just stole it from somebody else anyway. Right. So, you know, the best thing, you know, what if we found out that he was actually like just a man of such principles that he was taking this and returning it to the drug dealers or drug users that it was originally confiscated from?
Well, that might be a stretch, but that would be interesting. Yes. Because I was going to say that, you know, as long as he's, you know, giving fair market value out there, I don't really have that much of a problem with it. Now, if he's jacking the prices up, then, you know, that might be an issue. But it would be interesting if he was kind of Robin Hooding it and just giving it back to everybody.
Well, right. I'm not saying that's a very likely scenario, but you're not going to rule it out. But, you know, at worst, he's getting those drugs back out on the market where they, you know, where they're going to lower the price for every consumer. at least a little bit, could have a slight impact, right? Better than them actually being destroyed or used at the DEA party. Or think about this. You know, what happens to a lot of the drugs is it becomes planted on somebody else later when they need to do another bust. Maybe that's what this guy was using it for.
Yeah, see, it's funny you said that, because I had that thought cross my mind that, you know, on the, you know, we're trying to look at the positive here, but another possible
negative. Yeah, he's like a heroic drug Robin Hood. No.
Yeah, but you're right. The other possible negative is he could just be using this to set other people up.
Yeah,
chances are, if he's been doing this for a little while and he's hitting multiple stations, I would hazard
for
a guess.
For several years.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Now, as I understand the story as it's reported, and I checked another source to at least verify that this is a real story, and it is. But he would say, like, yeah, I'll just, you know, you keep them here, and I'll be by a couple times a year to collect. Okay? So I think he was getting, like all of their drugs.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Wow.
It's a spectacular scam. So
yeah. And let's face it, we don't know how often this kind of stuff happens. Do you think they're going to hold a special press conference to announce it with, you know, like normal, like if the public didn't get wind of it on their own, you think they're going to be like, and you guys need to know? No.
So sorry, everybody. Yes.
Yeah.
One of our officers
all you
was
people,
at it again.
Right. All you 750 people in jail because of that. We called that evidence. Well, you should get to walk, right?
Yes. Yeah, we can't have that. So, but I was saying, it doesn't seem very likely that he's doing this for anything other than personal gain. And if he's been doing it for this long, I should amend that, because there was a story, and I'm drawing a blank on where it was, but there was a story I came across a couple of weeks ago where there was a cop who was, I think it was California, who was still insisting on busting people for cannabis use, even though it was completely supposedly legal there.
He just couldn't let it go. Those aren't going to get, they're not going to win this one. No way.
Yeah, well, you know, they try just about everything. But yeah, so like I said, with that story out there, I guess it's possible that he's just a true drug warrior who's trying to keep everything off the streets, but it doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, no. You know what? It kind of reminds me of another great scam, and this guy really deserves, like, we should, like, give him some kind of a medal when he gets out of jail. The EPA, do you remember this story from, I think, 2013? An EPA official who pretended to work for the CIA. Do you remember this story?
I vaguely remember hearing about it, yes.
So this guy has this big, like a high-ranking guy, okay, with the Environmental Protection Agency, okay, a high-ranking guy getting a big fat salary. At some point, he goes to his boss and says, oh, by the way, I'm now working for the CIA, but you have to be quiet about it. You're going to keep me on the payroll here, but I'm going to be gone a lot, okay? So they're like, oh, okay. Does this for years. Like, tells them, he's like, well, I'm in Pakistan. I can't tell you what for. You understand? Oh, of course. And they find out he's like watering his yard at home, like in the DC suburbs, and like when he's supposed to be on these secret missions.
So, oh my goodness.
Anyway, he did this for years, got hundreds of thousands of dollars for a job that he wasn't doing, and just, I don't know. I just feel like that it really deserves some recognition. You know, I'm sorry he got caught. He probably got greedy like they all do, but
yeah. Well, there's a couple different ways you could look at that. Either he and somebody like this sheriff are extremely smart, which kind of, you know, goes in the face of most of what we think about government officials, or the rest of them are really just that dumb. So it's kind of hard to tell.
Well, it's probably the type of environment that it's, because it's so full of dumb people, you get some of these like snakes in there. They can just work it, you know, like it's so easy to take advantage of the other 99% of the order takers and the pension seekers.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, you know, like for, probably you just cut, you know, you cut somebody else in on it, or, you know, and again, it's not like it's their money. It's not like they're at a company with like stock options. And if the, you know, if they lose money, their value goes down. No, it's just, yeah, just true. Print more. Who cares?
It's kind of a tough spot for like somebody, for me to look at though. It's like, do I want to be proud of this guy for being able to scam the government? Well, yes. But then he's also, I mean, he is wasting taxpayer money, but he's probably doing a better job with it than most of the other people who are actually working. So,
I look at it this way. Yeah, I look at it this way. Okay, like when something is stolen, the first thing you want to do is to get that back to the rightful owner. Right. That's the best situation. Okay. Second best, but a lot of times you can't do that. You know, it's just impossible. So what's second best is to deprive the thief his ill-gotten gains, right? So mm-hmm. to take it from the thief, okay? So as far as I'm concerned, anybody that, like this guy that from the EPA, you know, he's stealing from a thief. So there, and that's slightly better, right? Like than having it.
That's true.
Right. What would the EPA spend it on? Like ruining ecosystems in Colorado, right?
Like yes, exactly. Turning the water brown and orange. That's their main job as far as I can tell.
Right. So every dollar that's not spent to destroy humanity and the natural environment is a gain. So
well, anyway. There you go. That settles it, Jim. You have convinced me. This man is a hero, and he should be championed.
Visit him in jail.
Write him some letters. Maybe we can send him one of the fiend vote, one of the fiend radios.
Yeah. I wonder if this guy's out yet. He was going to do 2.5 years in jail, and this was in. He's probably getting out this year. So yeah, maybe we can invite him to do some like a speaking circuit or a special fiends show with him on.
There you go. Oh, I hear the music. Guess we're going to run off to the market. We'll be back.
So, you know, part of the reason that we're, real quick, part of the reason that we're epoxying these radios is to make them harder to sell. Like the time I saw this junkie try to sell
intentionally ruining the market value?
One woman's shoe.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
If you get a cease and desist letter from the FCC, or they just kick in your door, we don't know. We're gonna try to find out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. They don't care as much as they used to. They're not even like going after cussing as much anymore, and pirates, and they're like bureaucrats. They've realized, like, wait, we don't need to do work. We just sit in our office and play Candy Crush and look at porn, get paid.
Yeah, but it's kind of a dying medium, too, isn't it? Or at least largely.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Well, I mean, not for us.
Don't say that.
I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people like us because
behind that curtain. It's a wonderful opportunity for us because at this point they'll put us on.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The beginning of radio or the end of radio, they could have played the fiends.
There you go.
I mean,
not
this
the middle.
Is no, no. 15 years ago, we never would have gotten on radio.
And 15 years ago, we did not have the technology to attach radios to homeless
people. So. I know. Because there wasn't any trade with China then, really. Well, there was, but not like there is now.
I'm sure we could have, but we would have been epoxying boom boxes instead of little transistors.
That's true.
Yeah, it takes a lot more epoxy, though, so...
Which is cheaper, the amount of epoxy you need or just some straps and just tie it to their back? Here you go, sir. Just carry this with you.
What if I took those ones for the with the speaker and put them like on the subway or something like that? Like, or just like,
you know what would happen? They'd close down the subway and call in the bomb squad and then prosecute you. Yeah.
That's right. It's a clock. It's a clock, really.
You forgot. Yeah. Like, yeah, there was some.
I accidentally forgot. I always duct tape the radio behind my head when I ride, and I just forgot to take it with me. I'm sorry.
Comedy Central had that happen. It was, I don't know if it was Philly or where, but it was some city. They had some promotion where they, like, built these devices that had LED arrays and, like, you know, spelled out something and showed the cartoon character from some upcoming show. And they paid people to go out and, like, take hose clamps and hose clamp them to street poles all over the city. Like, you know, like they paid a crew to go out and put up like 100 of them around a city at night. And like the bomb squad, like they got in trouble. You don't know
they
about
had,
this?
They were detonated by remote robots.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I'll find it.
I haven't heard that story, but we discussed this a little earlier, and I said something similar to Jim. I said, if I tried to do that in the New York City subways, it wouldn't even be a matter of the bomb squad getting called in. I'd get tackled before I even finish putting it up on the wall.
You're right. That's right.
Somebody would get up and say, hey, I see something. I'm saying something. And then I would just be covered.
They would just rip you limb from limb.
By the MTA.
And they would already had mysteriously
negative experiences.
Right. So. And then mysteriously find a Syrian passport next to you. like, there it is.
Only if I was set on fire first. Only if I was set on fire first.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to you getting these in hands, Michael. I would love to see the range, because I think Jim's onto something. Maybe not the subways, but the bus terminals or stuff like that.
Quiet places. Quiet places where the acoustics favor it. You know.
Okay, it was Boston. Now check your email and let's talk about this a little bit. It was the 2007 Boston Moonanite Panic, and it was the Boston Fire Department mistakenly identified battery powered LED placards resembling two Moonanite characters from Adult Swim's animated Aqua Teen Hunger Force improvised explosive devices. Now, someone else want to comment on this a little bit more? Do you have the article up?
I don't have it.
I got it up. All right. Let's see here.
This picture's hilarious.
It sounds like it was probably a great advertising idea. It would have been fun for everybody involved until the see something, say something mentality and a bunch of, you know, scared wusses that...
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. Everybody had to ruin the fun.
Yeah. Spoils everything.
Yeah.
You can't even take clocks to school anymore.
Oh, this line makes me laugh. It says, Incident led to controversy and criticism from a number of media sources, yada, 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 some of which ridiculed the city's response to the devices as disproportionate and indicative of a generation gap between city officials and the younger residents of Boston.
Yes.
Well, that seems pretty accurate. Yep. You guys are too old. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Did this trigger one of those things where they go like door to door with and point guns at your family with their tank? Remember that was Boston, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's only when they're looking for one random teenage kid, I think.
Rise up! Rise up!
It looks like a Light Bright game. Remember Light Bright?
Yes, I do. You're absolutely right.
It looks like a Light Bright of like a square with a face on it flipping the bird.
They will never lose their job for detonating a children's toy.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Part of my mental mission. I was thinking we should send... We should send him with some yak meat over to those Constitution liquors that need snacks. And he could hand him a Fiends radio.
Well, you know what I would do? I would buy some of that yak meat from him. And then if he's willing to deliver it
send
to,
him.
To the if he's willing to deliver it to that to those ranchers, I will buy
I'm
some
drafting
of his
him.
Yak meat.
He's not 18 yet. I'm drafting him. Aren't I his legal guardian? I think I am through the internet.
Poor Nick.
Through the transitive power of the fiends. Poor Nick.
I would take the yak meat from him if he was willing to ship it across the country.
Nick's going to block me. Well, Steve Miller sent me pictures tonight and said, which should I eat for dinner? And it was pretty exotic. It was like bison meat, fresh Marguerite duck breast, and wild boar mini roast made from feral swine, it says. He's a foodie cook, huh?
Wow.
Miller.
That all sounds delicious.
It does.
The last one sounds like the kind of thing they would like close down a farm in Michigan over.
I think it is. Oh, I think it's like, it's probably like, you know, farmed pigs, but they have the straight tails or something. Oh,
wasn't it feral pigs were what they would like declared war on in Michigan that ran loose friends out of business.
Yeah.
Well, that was the claim. Yes, I don't really know if you can consider him feral anymore since he's been.
You're farming feral pigs. It's like
dude, you made me spit milk all over my mind.
I don't think they know what those words mean. I mean, if they've been around feral animals, it's not a lot of fun. I used to have to take care of feral cats when I worked in the animal hospital.
They're insane.
I have the scars to prove it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm sad. You know, I can't have cats anymore. I had to get my cats away because I'm allergic to them. It turns out suddenly, or I think I've been allergic to them forever. You know, David Bowie was freebasing cocaine, and I was freebasing cats for the past 20 years. I know cats were harmed by that, but, you know, so it's been like 15 degrees at night here with some wind, you know, probably a wind chill of zero. And the last two nights, you know, I'm up all night. I'm up till like 6 a.m. Around four in the morning, both nights, I hear a cat meowing outside. Broke my friggin' heart. Because if it was like yelling at my neighbor's door, and I don't think they have a cat, but maybe they have a cat and decided to abandon it and it's out. But I don't know. Maybe there was just some chicken spilled on their porch or something. But it was, you know, if I weren't sick, I would have gone out, like, heated up some chicken and at least fed it, if not let it sleep in the garage for the rest of the winter, you know? I mean, it sounded pathetic, and it really hurt my soul.
But yeah, then the sad coyote came by and was not sad anymore.
There aren't any coyotes in my neighborhood. All my neighborhood is stray cats, rabbits, and deer. You know, and deer are just gentle forest ponies. They're not going to eat a cat.
Not usually.
Cats and rabbits. That's my neighborhood.
Yeah, there are actually cats that live feral through the winter here. It kind of blows my mind. It must be a thing of like, you know, for every 50 of them, six of them live. But, you know, I've seen cats out by in back of the Walmart, like a pile of mother with.
They're pretty hardy creatures. I've like I said, I worked in animal hospitals and stuff, so I've dealt with a lot of the feral ones. And I mean,
it can get
kind of cold here in New York from time to time. So I've seen them all, but I mean, they can fit into just about anything because
anything.
Their bodies. You know, that's why you hear those stories about. You know, I used to think they were jokes. Yeah, exactly. I used to think they were just like, you know, old wives' tales until I saw it happen.
They climb up into people's engines
because
they're warm. Yeah.
I used to have it all the time at my other house because we had this really old Maine Coon cat who just refused to come inside, hated everybody else but me for some reason. But she was like the queen of our neighborhood, and all the other stray cats used to flock to our neighborhood to find her. And it was surreal because when she died, we actually, you know, I was still, I don't know, probably like 16, 17 at the time, and my sisters were younger, so they wanted to have a funeral. So we buried her in the backyard, and no joke, for the next 3 months, every one of the neighborhood cats used to come to our backyard in the middle of the night, and it was like they were having a seance because they would sit around the spot where we had buried her and just sit there and cry for hours.
Wow.
Yeah, she was...
Was she loose and got around a lot?
No, she was fixed, but she was an outdoor cat, and she was 20 something years old when she finally died. So she you know, she was out there for a long time.
She had a lot of cat wisdom to share with the other cats. She was like
so. This was someone's pet.
Like, matriarch.
She was my cat. Well, I mean, essentially.
Wow.
But she never wanted to come in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my grandmother, it was one of those things. Like my grandmother used to be the ground for everybody in the family's pets they couldn't deal with. So some cousin just gave her the cat one day and said, hey, listen, I'll be back for this in 3 months. Never came back again. And the cat lived to be 20 years old, but she just hated to come inside. So we just left her outside all the time. But yeah, they would just line up and it was sitting in a circle. Seance. It was freaky.
That's awesome.
But they can survive a lot, man. It's crazy what those little animals.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 15 degrees, you know, below is cold, but they can survive. Obviously, it would be better for them.
Yeah, and you know what? There are places in this neighborhood they could get out of the wind, at least. Like, you know, under, there's porches, there's, you know, old wooden garages with doors that, you know, like you could put your foot, get your foot in there. Yeah, I'm sure they're not sleeping in a snowbank, you know?
Yeah, chances are no, because if they go to sleep in a snowbank, they usually don't get up. What's that? Yeah.
Like a Maine Coon cat or a Siberian tiger.
They're built for it. Yeah.
Or a lynx. I'm sure a lynx can handle it.
Well, mountain lions can handle it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, cats were, you know, domestic house cats are derived from African wild cats, which are like half a species away from, I mean, if you look at it, they're different species, but if you look at them, they look just like house cats. And, you know, cats live in the wild on every continent except Antarctica. So they have a pretty wide range of, you know, 0 to 100 degrees is nothing for a cat, or it's tolerable where it wouldn't be for a human outside.
Speaking of Antarctica, there's a documentary on Netflix. You're always talking about documentaries. Have you seen the Antarctica one where it's like sort of like the people that live there and like sort of like shows you the different communities and like how people come down there and work there and their little towns and their bars, and it's pretty far out.
It's all government people, right? Nobody's native to, there's no native people.
I guess it's researchers come from all over the world. It's this international community, but there's hundreds and hundreds of people there in the summer. And some people have stayed there, and some people have been there a long time.
You know what I'm thinking?
Some people never leave.
I'm thinking radio station, man.
Fiend station. Talk about a captive audience.
Yeah. What's the call letters for Antarctica? It's like, you know, in Canada, I-C-E? It starts with a C. Yeah, ice.
And they never thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is all government folks, though, right? Isn't there some weird agreement between all the
I don't think you, I mean,
that nobody's allowed to own it but everybody owns it type of deal,
right? I mean, there's probably some private firms there, but they're still contracting with governments. Like, I don't think you could just go there. James could, though.
I think you could. I think he can. I don't know. I don't,
no, there's no tourism because like it impacts the environment negatively. I mean, there is tourism. There's actually a video called Don't Go of, who's that comedian that used to be on The Daily Show that's great? He's like the best comedian ever. John Oliver. He's got a segment called Don't Go to Antarctica. Google that or YouTube that. It's pretty funny.
Well, as far as going there, I mean, isn't that the contention of the new wave of crazy flat earthers? The reason you're not allowed to go to Antarctica is because you'd be able to find the edge of the world.
Now, a guy called in to Free Talk Live tonight who was a serious flat earther. And I'm like,
oh no.
And he was listening on radio. And here's what I wanted to hit him over the head with a physics book and say, you couldn't hear Free Talk Live on your radio if the earth were flat. Because the reason you can hear it is because GCN is sending it from a satellite in Atlanta up to space. To a satellite that's rotating the earth because it's round, that wouldn't work if the earth was flat, and sending it back down.
Listen,
your local
radio, let me just stop you. You've already put way more mental energy into this question than it deserves. Okay.
I know. Well, that's
it's like,
what people,
you know what it is? It's like, name a movie that doesn't have the letter R. Bet you can. You know, like,
Fight Club.
Whoa, you're a genius. That's how much mental energy it takes to solve the flat earth question.
Yeah. GPS wouldn't work, though, if,
Well, they have answers for all that stuff, I think.
Hey, you know what? I've talked to people on like Google Hangout, and it's like it's dark here and still light where they are. Like, whoa.
Well, that could work with the Ezra flap, couldn't it?
But crazy. Maybe that's, not. No, that's just the whole thing with the Antarctica. It's the only thing I remember squirrels. Hearing recently. It makes me funny. It makes me laugh.
Squirrels.
Squirrels.
James.
Well, you know what? If squirrels. We can't get the, if we can't get Fiend Fest Somalia going, maybe Fiend Fest Antarctica would be sort of the next best thing.
There's already a Fiend Fest. It's the Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest. It's like the fiends dominate that. It's like they're all the speakers are fiends there. All the guests are fiends.
I want to go there.
You should go to that.
Yeah. I'd like to go.
Yeah.
I actually have it on my calendar.
Yeah. And it's unconveniently located for everybody. It's in Michigan.
I would love to go, but unfortunately, it's at a horrible time of the year for me. I just can't take off of work during that.
Yeah, because you're pet sitting. It's bring them to Michigan.
It's a few days before the Jackalope Freedom Fest, like all the way down in Arizona. So that's
why
kind
do
of
they a, call that that? Jackalope is a Wyoming phenomenon.
It's
they didn't Google that enough. No,
there's different threads of the.
It originated in it was two taxidermy brothers in Douglas, Wyoming, and they have a giant jackalope that you can go sit on in Douglas. There's a picture of me sitting on it holding a loaded gun. Have you seen that?
Of course, I have.
Yeah, everybody in Wyoming gets their picture taken on that. It's kind of like it's the Golden Gate Bridge to California is the jackalope to Wyoming.
Well, you know what, this festival they have down there sounds pretty cool because they just sort of take over a spot of wilderness and create a decentralized sort of gathering. Sounds cool.
And Ernie Hancock runs it, and Alma Summer just irked me. She just posted and said that like all baby boomers are horrible and they're ruining the world, and she doesn't have anything to learn from any of them.
Sounds
Aren't
a little
I a baby boomer.
Are you sure she really said that?
I read it, man.
Sounds a little collectivist.
Yeah, it was ageist. It was very ageist. I'm the last of the baby boomers. It's 46 to 84. 64. 46 to 64.
Do you support her theory or contradict it?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The flowers, that cat will be outside my door going, meow. You know, I could just put a
coyote out there.
A heating pad. I could just put a heating pad out on the porch.
You have a cardboard box and a towel. That would probably be more effective than a heating pad just sitting there.
Pad in a cardboard box with a hole in it, with a towel inside it?
With a small radio
receiver. Yeah. Receiver. Feeding the cats. Feeding the homeless cats. Yeah. All right, let's talk about squirrels.
All right, yeah, it's a big topic in New Jersey. And it's easy to just talk about this as like, oh, here's another thing that the police do that's awful in New Jersey. But there's a little bit more to the story than that. But the headline, and probably most people saw it, but a woman is facing up to 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine for saving baby squirrels. Okay, this is New Jersey, and okay, now this is the thing, okay? Division of Fish and Wildlife came knocking at her door, okay?
Wow.
Now, personally, this is one of the departments, though, that actually, you know, you better take seriously. I have watched them beat the tar out of a banjo player, okay? So, you know, people think like, they're some good old boys going to help me with my fishing permit. No. These guys come knocking. You better take it seriously. So they said, hey, we happen to notice on Facebook pictures of baby squirrels. Do you have some squirrels? And she goes, why, yes, I do.
bad answer. Never speak
Is there anything else I can confess to? And then so boom. So she confessed. She talked to cops when you should have said, am I free to go?
Like, am I being detained with baby squirrels?
Never answer questions. Like, even if you're, like, no matter how proud of your baby squirrels you may be, right? No good will come out of you talking to Fish and Wildlife when they knock on your door. So there's the little buried lesson in there. Just if it happens.
When any government official comes to your door and their opening line is, "We noticed something on Facebook," you should probably shut the door immediately.
Becoming surprisingly common these days, and though.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, most of us know that they are watching everything, but if they're going to come right out and tell you, then
The reason I don't use my real last name on Facebook, which is supposed to be a problem, but Facebook actually knows my real last name, but lets me, for some reason, grandfather in using Fiend as my last name. The reason I do that is I know it doesn't keep, like, you know, the NSA from knowing, like, having someone in a cubicle somewhere live, like, assigned to me and looking at everything I do as I do it, but it probably keeps the dumber, low-functioning white cops in my town from easily finding out who has the baby squirrels.
Okay, yeah. Or the, using the squirrel as a windsock, right?
Yeah, I'm looking for, like, that picture, man.
The that Wyoming could definitely attract some Fish and Wildlife Service. Bring in their service. You
know, when we were filming the Guns and Weed movie, and we borrowed that 50 cal and shot that TV with it out in the sticks on state land, a guy pulled up, and he had official plates, and he got out, and he's like, "What's up, fellas?" And I'm like, "Oh, we're just shooting. Want to take a shot at it?" Which is quite an offer, because the bullets for that thing are like $5 each, you know. But we were just, you know, we bought 50 bullets, like a third of the money expended on that movie. What's it called? The budget for Guns and Weed: The Road to Film
was just for ammo,
and
the other half budget went to weed.
So. No, it didn't. It went to travel. Actually, it did, because it went to paying for a trip to Denver to film at a medical marijuana place. But, you know, digital filmmaking, like, there's no cost per foot to film. So you just, you know, it's just time. I mean, I think the budget on the thing was $2,000 or something. But, yeah, and he was like, "No, I'm just watching." And we looked at his plate as he drove away, and he's from the Wyoming Department of Fish and Hogs. So it was weird, though. So we actually filmed that, like, shooting that TV, which is probably illegal.
Wait, so they have a combo department for fish and hogs?
It's called Fish and Wildlife or something, but we call it Fish and Hogs because of Mark in Michigan.
Oh, got it. Right. Not my favorite.
That's funny,
folks,
though. Yeah, here are the fish and sheep. Big horns.
You gotta wonder, like, they're armed and dangerous in Philly, Fish and Wildlife.
Oh, they are here too. The guy had a gun on his hip and probably a rifle in his truck, but he was just wondering why we had the big gun. Those are big guns, man. 50 cal rifles. Man.
You know what? What good is having a 50 caliber gun if you have to answer questions about it?
Yeah.
WHIV. You're listening to 89.1, The Hiv, WHIV, the throbbing vein of Kensington.
WHIV.